What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lada, what do you got?
All right, so when Adele announced that she was going to do a Vegas residency, I talked about it on What You Need to Know. When she postponed it, Lindsay talked about it, I believe, in Radio Tinder. Well, Adele got a bunch of backlash for postponing that residency. A lot of people were trashing her online, and Adele addressed it on BBC Radio this past weekend. She said she stands by her decision. She stated, "I definitely felt everyone's disappointment, and I was devastated, and I was frightened about letting everybody down. I thought I could pull it together and make it work, and I couldn't. I stand by my decision. I was a shell of a person for a couple of months. I just had to wait it out and just grieve it, I guess. Just grieve the show and get over the guilt, but it was brutal." She talked about how people were so mean to her, and I wanted to address this because we've talked about mental health and how we feel like entertainers, you know, athletes, they just need to get it together and just go, you know, go do their quote-unquote job, which I get it is their job, but they're also human, you know. And her saying she was a shell of a person for a few months, like, she wasn't going to give you her best show. So I just wanted to address it because we've talked about mental health, and she did say that there will be new dates coming very, very soon.
Great. Yeah, look, I'm with you, man. Like, if you're not in the right space and you have to perform, that can't be right. That can't be easy to do. You know what I mean? Like lay off people. Like, they're not robots. You know?
I just feel the guilt factor, you know, like, okay, so I'm signed to do this residency. I'm going to make a lot of money. And I did it because at the time I thought it was the right thing to do. Now I don't want to do it. I don't want to be in just one place. I don't want to live there. God, I got a lot going on in my life, and I've got a relationship that I want to nurture. And I don't really actually need the money. I mean, this is great money, but I don't need the money. So I'm doing this for all the wrong reasons. And then this guilt of, but my fans. And George, of course, I want you to know I really am in tune with this emotion, just so you know. My fans, they need me. They want me. They expect me. They've bought tickets to come see me. And I don't want to do it. And so finally you just get to that breaking point where you're like, I'm either going to do it half-ass, which I don't like to do things half-ass, or I got to bail on this. And while it sucks, dude, I got to get out of this thing. And then once you actually make the decision, and then you're like, it's over. And then you're like, oh, God, that feels so good. Oh, the weight of the world is off my shoulders. Oh, God, I feel so good right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was just so into my own little world. Right
no,
there.
Not really, actually.
I had my eyes closed. Yeah. You know, like, my whole face was on my microphone. I was like, oh, my God, that feels so good. Like, I really felt that.
Sounds a little weird to me, Kev. I was just like, what is happening right now? We're talking about Adele.
I know. But like I said,
I love how you turned into Adele into your own thing.
I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Instead of like, man, I feel bad for Adele. And then you're like, no, but about me first.
No, I was just trying to be compassionate and try and let her know that I understand where she's coming from.
Mm. Compassionate by saying that, by making it about you?
No, by making it like, I get you, girl. I mean, like, you're feeling guilty, you know? I hate guilt. Guilt sucks, man. I hate guilt. I hate male-on-male guilt, like when your buddies call you. They're like, what? What? You don't call me? You don't write? You don't?
Wait.
I'm not big enough
hold
for
on,
you.
Hold on. You have buddies like that?
Yeah, I'm not into male-on-male guilt. I tell them, I'm like, dude.
No, wait a second. Like, seriously, you have, like, friends, like, guy friends who do that to you?
Yeah.
I mean, not even, forget about guy friends, friends in general. If you have friends in general who give you guilt over not reaching out to them when we all, you know, you're adults, we have busy lives. Like, they, you know, then they're way too needy, man.
You know, you say the phone works two ways, buddy.
There you go. That's a good answer right there, Hungarian heat.
I mean, I literally can go weeks, months without talking to some of my friends.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about like your closest friends. They get it, you know, because when your closest friends, you just pick it up from where you left it off.
Right, especially if you've known someone for like decades.
Yeah, it's always that pain in the ass that you're like not really that close with. You know what I mean? You're like,
then you shouldn't care.
So who is this guy? Go ahead, out him.
Am I friends with you? That. Oh God, I had this annoying guy this weekend. This guy was so annoying. God, he was just all over me. He was so annoying. And finally, I told Rachel, I'm like, listen, I'm not hanging with that guy. Like, you know me, I'm pretty friendly to everybody, and I don't ever really say anything.
You like
bad
everybody,
about...
Kathy.
Yeah.
You...
I'm like, I don't like that guy. Him, I don't like.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what did Rachel say?
She's like, I'm with you. I don't like him either.
Wow. Yeah. Look at Rachel.
We were aligned.
Rachel.
That's right. We were aligned.
Wow. All right, Kathy.
Anyway, I feel you. I feel you, Adele. I do.
Okay. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Real quick, before I get back to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance you watch the UFC this weekend.
Nope.
Yeah, I figured. Because when everybody was talking, when I was tweeting about it and everybody was tweeting about it in the community, you didn't say one thing.
Nah, Saturday night I was out and about. I'm trying to remember where I was. George, it was such a long weekend, and there was so much packed into this long weekend that I actually had to wake up this morning and look at my phone and where was I Friday night? Okay, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday. Yeah, I was definitely out and about living life. I wasn't watching. What I was told, by the way, was not a very eventful UFC card. Like the fights, from what I was told, fights were not particularly exciting. Kind of boring is what I was told.
Oh, I disagree. I think the first fight of the main card, you know, ended in not a fun fashion because it wasn't ideal because it was like a no contest because the guy got poked in the eye. But then the Robbie Lawler fight was awesome. The Sean Strickland fight was quick. It was like awesome. And then the Volkanovski fight was, I mean, it was probably not as great as it would have been. It was just a really dominant performance by Volkanovski. And then Adesanya is kind of like Mayweather in the sense of, like, he's a tactician, and people don't love that he doesn't engage. He doesn't take unnecessary risks. But I like the sweet science of the fight game, so I'm good with just really good performances. There's not a lot of knockouts and stuff doesn't mean it's not good to me.
Yeah, I told you guys last week that I have a close friend of mine who's really, really, really he's into the UFC, loves
MMA.
Yeah,
and he said he didn't know it was happening.
And he didn't know the fight. He was like, dude, for some reason, it's off my radar this week. He was going to a Stranger Things party on Saturday night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I go, hey, you know, I talked to Sedano and the whole crew, man, and I told him that, you know, you weren't watching the fights on Saturday night, that you, frankly, you didn't even know they were happening. And they said, well, you're not really a fan. And he was pissed. He's like, you know what, man, that's not true. You know that. And then he, like, broke down every fight before the fights even all happened. You know, he, like, got all offended, you know. I was like, no, Sedano says you're not a real fan. He goes, no, you know I'm a fan, dude. I go, dude, you're going to see a Stranger Things party on Saturday night. You're not watching the UFC? You know everything about every fighter. You know who they fought. You know their records. You know their weight class. I go, and you're going to a Stranger Things party?
And what do you say?
Yep, I am. I'm going to Stranger Things party. You did. And when I asked him today, I'm like, yo, man, did you go to that Stranger Things party? You watched the UFC this weekend. He goes, no, I went to the Stranger Things party. I told you. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I've not seen one episode of Stranger Things.
I saw a little bit of the first season. I wasn't that into it. Anyway. Speaking of, one thing we have been into today was this whole Jeannie Buss. I mean, Jeannie Buss literally made the first 90 minutes of our show.
Appreciate that, Jeannie.
I mean, thank the Lord.
I'm telling you right now, she is so smart in that when you have a following like she has on Twitter.
You think she did that for that? I don't think she did that for that. I think she just did it because she thought it was therapeutic for a minute.
Correct. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that when you have that kind of a following and you make a statement like she made, where you invoke, you know, Kobe, and then you knock someone, who knows? I thought it was very obvious that she was talking to LeBron James. A lot of people in the community think it's very obvious that she's talking to Russell Westbrook. Some people are theorizing that she's talking about potentially Kyrie Irving. Regardless of who she's talking about, and regardless of whether she did it consciously or not, I mean, that turned into a massive tweet that has a lot of people asking questions.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, we did it on Around the Horn today, so it's like a national story.
I mean, if it's on Around the Horn, forget about it.
Well, but what I'm saying is there's only like five or six topics on that show. Like,
what else was on that show? Tell me you guys were still talking USC, UCLA, Pac-12.
We did. Well, because they were off because of Wimbledon for a bunch. So they did a lot of the topics that had been happening over the last several days. So they did the Rudy Gobert. We did the Rudy Gobert trade. We did Kevin Durant's cryptic tweeting. And the latest on that, we did Gobert, we did Jeannie, we did UCLA, USC, going to the Big Ten. We did Nick Kyrgios at Wimbledon. And then what else did we do? Oh, and we did the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, good. Don't talk about that yet, because that's part of my Scotteria today, please.
Oh, okay. We'll wait for that then.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah. Please do not talk about Joey Chestnut. I'm reserving
I should
that.
I should do it just because you always do that.
We all want to talk about stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, let's talk about it now then.
Screw no, it's off. Fine.
Oh, okay. Wait. All right.
It's fine.
Because I really want to talk about Joey Chestnut's performance.
Okay. Laura, do we have this sound of, I think Lindsay sent it earlier, of Shams? Earlier today on the Pat McAfee show on the latest on Kyrie. Okay. So anyway, the reality is there is a lot of different reporting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Haynes said over the weekend that the Lakers and Nets were engaged.
Engaged and, to be married?
No, engaged in conversations.
Oh, okay. You didn't finish the thought. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah. And then the other part of the equation was that Shams said that there's nothing imminent, like just like nothing's happening right now. Now, I think both of those things can be true. I think that the Lakers, because Mason and Ireland took that as like an either or. You know what I mean? Like, well, no, they could have engaged in a conversation and then it wasn't fruitful. So at the moment, today on Tuesday, it's like, yeah, nothing's happening right now. So now Shams went a step further and said that he could see where that situation doesn't even unfold at all. Now, again, I think that with new information, things change. That's him just speculating on the situation. And by the way, that also jives with what I've told you, right? Of the Nets don't want Russell Westbrook unless they're going to be incentivized, in my estimation.
Right. I mean, can you imagine the Nets on the phone with the Lakers and the Lakers say, hey, look, here's the deal. You guys don't want Kyrie. We all get it. We don't want Russ. We all get it. So really, we're just trading you one problem for another problem, and both of them are on last year's of their deals. And the Nets are on the other end going, yeah, that's true, but here's the issue for us. Chances are, if Kyrie plays the way he's capable of, we've just given you Kyrie Irving. All we received was Russell Westbrook. Kyrie winds up signing a four-year deal with you guys. Russ is here for a year, and then he's gone. And what do we have thereafter? We've got nothing. You've got Kyrie.
Correct.
So we need more from you, Lakers, if we're going to make this deal. Oh, by the way, not even to mention the $11 million more that Russ is going to make than Kyrie this year.
Correct.
So we're taking on your burden, and you're taking our best guy, or one of our best guys, and you're going to have him potentially for a lot longer thereafter.
Yeah, agreed. And the other part of the equation is it was reported that they would throw in Joe Harris in the deal, which, again, like, Lindsay, you would know this as well as I would. I feel like that's like, if he's, you know, as long as he's healthy, which I feel like he will be moving forward into this season, that's like the perfect, like, LeBron compliment. Kyle Korver, James Jones, Mike Miller, Ray Allen. I mean, you name it. Like, just a guy who can shoot threes like that? Like, come on.
I'm in for it. I think it would work. I mean, I still think that, you know, what Wendy's saying, Kyrie and LeBron is the best pairing LeBron's ever played with. I still think that, but, you know, you poo-poo that idea, so.
Well, I don't think he is. I think Anthony Davis is the best fit that he's ever had. And I don't even think Kyrie Irving is the most successful pairing that he's had. So, I mean, Kyrie Irving and him are great, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I just don't think Kyrie is that. But I do. I know that the best LeBron is the LeBron surrounded by shooting. So... you know, and so if you add Joe Harris into that deal, I don't know. I don't see how that's a bad thing.
Like, Speaking of Anthony Davis, I saw this video. I think I sent it to you guys.
Oh, yeah. He's working with Lethal Shooter, the shooting coach.
I saw a video of Anthony Davis. So for all the complaining that so many of us have done, including Charles Barkley, who says, hey, you got to change your offseason. You got to do things differently. George, you talked about Anthony Davis's footwork and how he needs to work on footwork. Mm-hmm. So I see that the Lethal Shooter is the name of the account on Instagram, and he's like this shooting coach. And here's what he says. Anthony Davis has been locked in. Training every day at 4:50 a.m. is what it takes. After 400 makes, free throws are the key. So, listen, I have a question. I'm glad to see Anthony Davis is working out real hard this offseason. I'm glad to see that he's taking free throw after free throw after free throw. Why at 4:50 in the morning? How about 6 a.m.? That's early. How about 7? By the way, what else does he have to do all day? 4:50 in the morning.
I mean, you don't know. What else? He may have other stuff to do.
4:50? What's he on, East Coast time? Because he's at the Laker complex.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's when he wants to do it.
What does he think? Like, hey, I'm beating everybody to the gym. I'm up earlier. The early bird gets the worm. I'm putting in the work.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
If anyone else did that, if Tom Brady did that, you would be all over it.
If Tom Brady did that, I'd be like, Tom, get a little extra sleep, man. You need a little more sleep.
You'd be
I think.
Oh, you see, Brady's the first one there.
I think 4:50 is excessive, George. I really do. 4:50
is
excessive.
You wake up at 5, don't you?
I mean, generally speaking, I wake up early. It's true, but you know, I mean, not 4:50. I'm not shooting free throws at 4:50 in the morning.
Yeah, my kid woke me up at 4:15 this morning. My 3-year-old, and he's screaming for me, and I'm coming in there, and he's like, "I want you to lay down with me." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me."
That sounds cute.
It is cute, but except, I mean, I laid down with him, and then he wanted to have a conversation. I'm like, no, it's time for night-night.
Did he want to talk about free throw shooting?
He actually asked me, how was your exercise yesterday? Because I was in the garage working out. And I was like, bro, you need to go to bed. And then eventually I was like, all right, that's it. I'm leaving. You go to sleep. And then I left. But it took, I was there for 45 minutes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, right. 4:50 in the morning seems a bit excessive. Hey, AD, I'm glad to see you're shooting a lot of free throws. I'm glad to see you're getting the work in. Bro, get some sleep.
All right, coming up next, Cappy.
Yeah.
The situation with the Big Ten
mm-hmm.
and the UCLA and USC and all that stuff, man, there is a lot to unfold there because there's a lot of fallout. Martin Jarman is going to join us tomorrow, the AD at UCLA.
Mike Bohm will join us Friday, the athletic director from USC.
And I feel like there's a lot of different emotions when it comes to this. Excited, sadness, confusion. Let's kind of unpack some of that because I feel like we did the story and just kind of the immediate impact, but there's a lot there to unfold. Let's do that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ooh, love this yeah. song.
My, you know what I think of when I think of Hootie other than these songs?
Maybe like Dan Marino?
Well, that. They do have the Dolphins Make Me Cry or All I Want to Be With You, whatever. But I also think of the movie Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Cuba Gooding Jr. goes to the airport and the kid comes up for an autograph and goes, can I get an autograph, Hootie, or something like that? And he goes, I'm not Hootie.
Actually, I don't remember that, but that's funny.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny scene in the movie.
Love Hootie and the Blowfish.
I feel like Darius Rucker did what like Gloria Estefan did with the Sound Machine, where it just like went from like Hootie and the Blowfish to like Darius Rucker, and then that's it. The Blowfish were gone.
Yeah, there were no more Blowfish all of a sudden. Isn't he now like more of a
country
guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that song? You guys know that song? It's like one of those bar songs that when it comes
wheel.
On. Wagon Wheel, yeah. Rock me, mama, on a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama,
that's a good song.
Wagon wheel. Hey, mama, rock me. Yeah.
Is that like Tonight is the Night?
It's similar to Tonight is Tonight, the Night, but it's a little different, though. It's a little different. It's like Mama Rock Me. It's just slightly different than Tonight is the Night.
Gotcha.
It's a different song, different Hootie song.
By the way, Cappy, you want to tell people what's going on this next week, actually, right, for the folks here?
Yes. Let me tell everybody. I am so excited about next Friday night because when you say, well, why? Because the Mandy's were such a monster success that now anybody who may have missed the magic of the Mandy's, you might as well come join us for All-Star Friday night, which means it's our Wiffle Ball Bash, which is the Home Run Derby. And then it's the all-star softball game featuring your favorite 7-10 hosts and personalities. You can join the party at the West Covina Sportsplex on Friday. It's July 15th. It is free. It is open to the public. And right now, if you are caller number 5 at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN, you're going to win a playing spot in our Wiffle Ball Bash. This is the Home Run Derby. And 2 tickets to the Capital One Play Ball Park in Major League Baseball's live in downtown L.A. Okay, that was a poor read, but you understand. July 16th through the 19th. It's the ultimate all-star fan experience with something for the whole family. For tickets and information, visit allstargame.com. But, George, the Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby, I'm looking for big things out of the Sedano and Cap familia. And then the all-star game, Lindsay seems to be kind of, in my opinion, kind of putting it out there that she's likely to be the star of the game. Looking at perhaps.
When did I say that?
Well, look, I believe looking at another piece of hardware to add to her trophy case to put right next to her three Mandys. Or was it two Mandys, three Mandys?
Two Mandys.
To put right next to her Mandy Awards, the all-star softball MVP. Lindsay, you don't think so, huh?
I haven't played softball in so long. It's been, I don't know, at least 10 years.
Okay, but don't you feel like, I mean, just based on looking around the station, Mason, Ireland, Bergman, Travis, Slee, I mean, don't you think you got a shot here at MVP?
No, I don't think I do, but that's nice of you to say that.
Do you think Travis is like an automatic all-star MVP for us?
No, I think Slee was a better pick for MVP, don't you?
I don't think so. I mean, with Travis's, you know, collegiate baseball career.
I feel like Slee was like a sleeper pick.
Okay. Okay. I'm going yard, just so you know.
Or even you, Cappy. I feel like you'd be a good MVP pick.
You guys want to hear about my one career softball highlight? Anybody want to hear about this?
Sure.
So one time I was playing in a boys versus girls softball game. The boys were all a bunch of drunken radio listeners, and the girls were all a collection of collegiate all-stars. They no-hit us two straight games. In the third game, I finally decided, I'm swinging the bat, I don't care. With my eyes closed, a pitch that I never saw, this girl who's an All-American pitcher at Georgia Tech pitched this fastball, planning on blowing it right by me. George, I promise you I never saw it. I just felt it. I felt my bat hit the ball. I started running to first base. When I opened my eyes and I looked, I could see it flying over right center. It was our only hit, and it was our only run, as they blanked us two games, and then we got one hit in the third game. I, Lindsay, have not played softball since then, but I feel like I'm going to be pretty good.
I got to start practicing.
I think I'm going in no practice.
Well, that's a bold move, Cappy.
Yeah, too much to cram for. All right, caller 5, 877-710-ESPN.
Wait, we already gave it over. That's it. We have a winner.
All right, I didn't know we had a winner.
Jeff Alexander from Santa Clarita.
Oh, hey, mazel tov. Way to go, Jeff. Jeff, practice, baby. We need you.
Read your text, Cappy. Read your text.
Yeah. Well, I was in the middle of a big rant. You know, I didn't read my text.
You were doing a bit.
I was in the middle of a big rant there about my one highlight. The whole team met me at home plate. They were bouncing on me and jumping, you know?
You got this, Cappy. I believe in you.
And then the next guy got struck
out.
No,
it's definitely going to be Travis. It's not going to be you.
Laura, are you going to play?
I can't. I'm actually going to have surgery soon. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why don't you send your boo in your place?
You just want to look at him again.
I know. I'm a little afraid of that.
I like his nose ring. I like his earring. He smells delicious.
I know he does.
I'm sure he'll have nice cleats, have nice stirrups.
Cappy, let me ask you a question. Have you talked to a lot of people about USC and UCLA?
A lot.
What is the reaction? Do you think people are excited? Do you think people are a little confused? Do you think people are sad at the Pac-12 being dissolved, basically, in a lot of ways?
George, it's so funny you're asking this because the people that I'm talking to have so many different perspectives.
Right.
You know, like,
and it might be a number of those different emotions simultaneously.
Right. Because let me tell you something. I was talking to a friend of mine who used to be the athletic director at Oregon. And he's obviously very, very concerned about what happens to Oregon.
Correct.
You know, Oregon is now kind of like the big school in the Pac-12 that doesn't really know what's going to happen. Like, do we go out and get guys from the other conferences to try and fill in? Or are we going to be picked off by the other conferences? Because, you know, I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there now that Oregon, Washington, Utah...
Yeah.
Arizona State might combine forces with what's left in the Big 12.
Right, and they'll make like a 20-something team super conference, yeah.
But if I'm those schools, I'm not so sure that I want to necessarily get into business with Baylor and Kansas. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma were attractive, and Kansas has a lot of, you know, history in basketball.
I think you're thinking from a football perspective. So I would say from a basketball perspective, though, Kansas is an incredible attraction. They're like the national champions.
No, well, but so is Baylor. I mean, Baylor's had a great basketball program.
And football program, for that matter.
I know, but I'm just not – I'm not positive. I'm not saying I'm close to it because here's the thing. Just like USC and UCLA will go to Ohio State and they're going to go to Penn State and they're going to go to Michigan and they're going to wind up being able to recruit players from that region that might normally go to Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan. Mm-hmm. Same thing goes here. If you play at TCU or you play at Baylor, could you get some of Texas's best to come to Oregon or Washington. So, you know, George, this is such an interesting time in college sports where these two schools, Texas and Oklahoma, leaving for the SEC, paves the way for UCLA and USC to go now to the Big Ten. But I'm telling you, George.
And by the way, I think the UCLA-USC move is bigger than Texas and Oklahoma.
It might be because of the TV markets in particular.
And because USC is really the marquee program for the entire western part of the country. It's the litmus test for if the West is good.
Well, the West hasn't been good for a while, unfortunately.
Right, but it's basically been that for 80 years.
Yeah. In the meantime, here's the thing. If I'm schools like Washington State, and by the way, you asked me if I've been talking to people. If I'm Washington State, if I'm Oregon State, what's going to happen to us? And then think about it from another perspective. What if you're a team in the Mountain West Conference? Let's say you're Boise State, where you've made your mark nationally. Hey, we're in this like mid-major conference. We would love to jump at the Pac-12. Pac-12 wouldn't even sniff at us. Will they now? Well, I don't know. What's going to be left of the Pac-12? So I would say this. This is my the move that I'm looking for, George.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think San Diego State is attractive.
No, they're not at all. They're not even remotely attractive. Neither is Boise State.
Yeah.
But here's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at Cal and Stanford. Those are the two schools, Cal and Stanford.
Because of San Francisco, right?
If I were the Big Ten, those are the two schools I want. I want Cal and I want Stanford. I want to own Northern California and Southern California with four schools. And we're pretty much a Midwestern conference. I want to own NorCal and SoCal. I want the San Francisco and the LA TV markets.
Right.
Stanford and Cal, those are who I'm looking at.
So no Washington, even though Seattle's a big market and it's and they have better history.
I love Washington. I think Washington as a school and as a sports program fits in perfectly with the Big Ten as well. But if I'm the Big Ten, I just would rather have
Cal and
Stanford.
So even over Oregon, considering Phil Knight is there.
Yes, even over Oregon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what the move is. Like, what does the ACC do? Do they now tell Notre Dame, hey, I know you're a member in all the other sports. You're going to have to do it for football, too.
Well, it would be about time that Notre Dame will have lost their leverage.
Oh, no, this is it for them. They're going to have to figure something out soon. they can't just keep being an independent. That stuff is over, I think, for them.
I do really wonder, though, George, as the ACC has expanded, but if you're Clemson, if you're Florida State, if you are Miami, as an example, are you going to stay and get more? Or eventually might the Miami and Florida State types get picked off and go to the SEC?
There's only going to be two spots for the SEC if they're doing a 16-team conference. So those two teams, I mean, I'd rather have – I mean, if I'm the SEC, I would rather have Miami and Clemson. But you don't want to break up the Florida State aspect of it because you already have Florida, so that actually works too. I feel like one of those three teams, if they went to the SEC, is going to get left out.
Well, that – okay, you just said it. Get left out.
Everybody, and that's what's happening across college football right now. Well, college sports, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's the deal. If I'm UCLA and USC, like for football, whatever, it's not a huge deal. But what do you do if you're the volleyball team or even the basketball teams? Like, are you just going to go on the road for 2 weeks? Like, what's going to happen there?
I don't know about 2 weeks, but, you know, I think here's the thing. We've all learned how to work remotely. And by the way, the students have learned how to work remotely through COVID. So they may have been in high school and taking remote classes, or maybe they were enrolled at USC and they were taking remote classes.
So you're saying they'll still have time to do their academics?
Yes, but the world has changed. So you can do your classes or maybe even be in your classes, or maybe you're watching a YouTube video that your professor put out. But you can do work remotely, even schoolwork.
Okay.
So maybe the basketball team says, hey, we're going to Michigan State, Purdue, and Indiana. That's our road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
I mean, it's possible, sure.
Yeah, I'm USC and UCLA. You say Martin Jarman is coming on tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 4:30, yeah.
And I spoke to Mike Bone. He's going to join us on Friday. So I'm super stoked to talk to these guys and see where this goes from here. But I, just as an observer, somebody who really, really is interested in college sports, what domino falls next? That's what I want to see.
Okay. Well, we'll ask Martin Jarman tomorrow, 4:30. By the way, we're late again. We keep screwing up this 6:30 break.
Well, you said that we were going to be like more podcast style today, and I just feel like we've just given up on commercials.
No, but you've taken that, like, you know, it's like a kid. You give them a, you know, a finger, they take the whole hand. That's you right now.
Not like give them an inch, he takes a mile.
I mean, there's that too.
He takes the hand.
Yeah. Finger, hand. Yeah. Whole arm, maybe even. All right. Big deal, no deal. 2 minutes. Let's go.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, Lindsay, now you take it away.
Thanks, Sonato. Thanks, Christopher. Really excited for Big Deal or No Deal. Starting with Tom Hanks, who has spoken out about Tim Allen not voicing Buzz Lightyear in the new Pixar movie Lightyear. Hanks is currently in theaters with his latest movie, Elvis, in which he plays Elvis Presley's infamous manager, Colonel Tom Parker. Tom Hanks said in an interview, quote, "How about that? I actually wanted to go head-to-head with Tim Allen. And then they didn't let Tim Allen do it," speaking of the Buzz Lightyear movie. "I don't understand that. Is Tom Hanks kind of throwing shade at the new Lightyear movie a big deal or no deal, Sedano?"
I think it's a big deal because you already had Tim Allen say what he said, and now you have Hanks saying it, and it feels like those guys feel like they were left out in some way, shape, or form. Well, I mean, not some way, shape, or form. Like, they definitely seem to feel left out. So, I think it's a big deal. I haven't seen the movie. It's probably not a movie I'm going to go watch in the theater anyway, but I probably will check it out when it hits a streaming service.
I'm also going to go big deal here. And by the way, like you, I'm probably inclined to say that I'm not likely to see it, even though I saw the other ones when my kids were younger. But I will say this. Tom Hanks needs to understand who he is. Like, bro, you, when it comes to movies, you are like what LeBron is to the Lakers. You should get your way. You should tell them what to do. You should tell them who to staff, not the other way around.
Yeah, I don't think he's bigger than Pixar and Disney, bro.
Well, is LeBron bigger than the Lakers?
Yes.
I don't know. We're about to find out.
Lindsay. Yes.
Possibly.
Yes, he is, actually.
I think he is. I think he kind of is. But yeah, I think you're right about Tom Hanks. And, you know, there's like, it's kind of like an old versus new thing going on with this movie because everyone's like, well, you know, who's the guy that Chris, which Chris was it?
Smith?
No.
Chris Stevens?
One of the famous Chris's.
Chris Jones?
Chris Evans. Thank you, Laura. Chris Evans.
Oh,
Chris
him.
Evans.
He was next. I was getting to him.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure you were, Cap. But he was the Lightyear voice, and everyone's like, well, he has no connection to the original movies, and neither does this new character, so I'm probably going to pass and just wait until it's out in streaming, too.
All I'm saying is that Tom Hanks has enough clout to go into the, you know, whoever the executives are and go, dude, we need Tim Allen in a movie.
Apparently not. Apparently not, Cap.
Or maybe he didn't play for him.
Speaking of big celebrities, The Rock, you know that he has a net worth of over $800 million. And like many celebrities, part of that net worth comes from how much he gets paid from marketing, from making sponsored social media posts. And what's most impressive is that his net worth has doubled in less than a year. The Rock makes $1.7 million per sponsored post on Instagram,
damn,
which makes him the sixth highest paid celebrity on the platform, according to the most recent data. He has more than 325 million followers on IG.
Damn.
Is this a big deal or no deal, Cappy?
It's huge. $1.7 million for an Instagram post?
Yep.
Think about that. You have built your audience on someone else's platform, and yet you can monetize it that way. So good for The Rock. So good for other influencers, whether you can make $1.7 million or $1,700 or $170 or $17. That's freaking unbelievable. Man, The Rock.
How much
He's
do you
awesome.
Make per marketing sponsored post, Cap?
I actually pay people to let me, you know, let me put their stuff in my videos.
You need to talk to Beto because Beto's got that influencer.
Yeah, Beto knows how to do that thing, man.
Yeah.
Big
deal,
Sedano? I don't know how to do it.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge deal, of course. I mean, just based on the numbers, it's an incredible, huge deal. So good for The Rock. I'm with him. So
I love him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's very likable, right? Like, I don't think there's any doubt. So
Great guy. All right. So this is an interesting story I saw. A worker in Chile has basically disappeared from his job accidentally paid him about 330 times his salary, all due to a payroll error.
Wow.
The worker is a dispatch assistant at a cold meats manufacturer, and he received a paycheck of about $181,000 for the month of May.
Right, but, which again is 330 times what he normally gets,
yeah,
right?
He was only supposed to make about $545. So the man initially alerted his employer, who asked him to return the money to the bank, but then he gave his resignation the next day, and he's been ignoring communications from the company ever since. He's basically gone completely off the grid. I know that you guys are going to say that you would inform your employer if this happened and you'd give the money back. So I'm going to ask, if you were in this man's situation and you decided that you're going to disappear, where would you disappear to?
Oh, man. Where is he from again? Chile?
Yes.
Okay. So you got to get away from South America, right? Like, there's no question about that. I'm trying to think geographically, where could you go? Now, you probably want to go far away, is my guess. But then...
But you can't go like $180,000
isn't going
like,
that far, right? Yeah. I mean, it depends. Some of these little Caribbean islands, you never know. You know what I mean? Like, you can go to Caribbean probably. Although some of those Caribbean islands are very expensive now too. If you're in the touristy parts. Let me see. Yeah, I would go far away. I mean, that's just me. You know, I don't know. Like, I just think I would go far away so that way I could never run into anyone from Chile ever again in my life. Like, that would be. That would be kind of my position on all of this. So,
well, let's go back to the beginning of this whole thing, Lindsay, because, you know, I feel like what you said was, I know you guys are going to say the most cliche, politically correct stuff.
Well, because we've had this conversation before about, like, finding money or accidentally getting money deposited into bank accounts, whatever. Yeah. And everyone, you guys always say, like, oh, I'd give it back.
Well, let me say this.
Well, it depends on how much money, though. You
know? Right. If I'm a guy who's making $500 in my paycheck,
Chile.
And all of a sudden, you gave me $180,000 in my paycheck, I'm probably going to peace out. You know, and as far as where am I going to go, I'm not quite positive yet, but I have this feeling that hiding in plain view is actually smarter than being on the run. So I wouldn't like go to someplace remote. I'd go to someplace highly populated.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it has to be remote. I'm just saying it has to be far away from Chile. Like, you know, like... For example, if I look at the Caribbean, I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at it because I've been there and they have like great food and the cost of living is fairly inexpensive. Like I'd go to like the Dominican Republic or something.
Oh, yeah. Plus the food there
is unbelievable. Yes.
So you know, my daughter's there right now.
The Dominican?
Yeah. And she,
what part?
I don't really know other
Punta
than
Cana?
The Dominican. I don't, you know, I'll send
Punta
her a message
Cana's
on
amazing.
WhatsApp and I'll ask her. But it's so funny you guys are saying that because all she's reporting back to me is, how great the freaking food is.
It's incredible.
So good.
Incredible.
What is so great about the food in the Dominican Republic?
They
amazing.
Caribbean,
good authentic food.
Yeah, Caribbean people know how to make good food, man. I'm not saying other countries don't, but they just, you know, everybody's got their own little spin to it, and their spin is great too.
So, I'm going to find a Dominican restaurant here and go try it.
Cool. Probably not a lot of Dominican restaurants on the West Coast, though. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were in, like, New York or Miami, I would say you find a lot of Dominican restaurants, but...
Not necessarily in L.A. Maybe there is one. I just don't know it. But no, I would say, isn't. Cappy, you know what I would say? Cuban food and Dominican food, very similar. So if you like my friends at Tropicana? Then you like Dominican food.
I like that one thing that you got that like the croqueta. Fried. What's it called?
Croqueta.
Oh, croqueta.
Yeah.
It's muy bien.
See.
God, I love that thing.
Yeah. I'll get you some more.
No, don't. I started my diet.
Oh, you can't have one.
Don't do that to me.
Cap, once you've been dieting for a month, though, you got to work in a cheat day. But give it like a month before you do that.
Yeah. Well, I haven't really, if I'm being honest, I haven't really begun the nutrition part of my diet.
Oh, geez.
But I've started the exercise part of my diet.
Nutrition is the most important part.
The food part is the diet. You know that, right?
You guys got me busted. It's true. Yeah. It's true.
You busted yourself.
You're such a liar, man.
No, I did. Here's what I did, George. On Sunday, I said, okay, it's going to hurt really bad, and I don't really want to do it, but I know it's got to be done.
What'd you do?
I started running again.
Oh, I did 3 workouts on my tempo machine on Sunday.
Sounds good.
So I did like an hour's worth of like HIIT training, like, you know, high interval, whatever training they call it.
High intensity interval training.
I did an hour of that. It was nuts. I was exhausted.
With HIIT, you're only supposed to do like 20 minutes, they say.
Well, I did a 30 and then I did 2 15s. But the third one was just. Actually, the third one was not a HIIT training. It was just a core training, now that I think about it.
Yeah, for me, I know I got to run.
So I did a 30 HIIT, and then I did a 15 HIIT, and then I did a core.
Yeah, for me to lose weight, I must run.
But then I ate like a savage after I had that first beer.
Therein lies my problem. I ran a 6-mile run today, George. You know what I got home and ate?
Pizza.
A Jersey Mike's sandwich.
Yeah, and like the big one, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I got to now start getting back into protein shakes and protein powders and recovery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to get myself back. But if I just did
more cardio and HIIT training, I would be at the weight I want to be at. Because I don't actually eat all that. I mean, I had a day like yesterday, the day I had, that happens maybe once a month. Maybe, max, like once a month. But it's just that I'm like, bro, like, it's just, I don't feel like doing like that high intensity stuff. And it's like, I don't feel like, you know, it's just like, I got a lot of stuff. The kids drive me crazy.
Well, that's what
so I'd rather just like go hiking and lift, but that's no longer giving me the calorie burn that I used to get.
Well, like I said, I haven't begun the nutrition part of it. Yeah. The exercise part, I'm getting there.
Okay.
I've started running again.
Why don't we go play volleyball, Cappy, somewhere?
I'd love to go play volleyball. I've never really played much, but I'm sure I'll be great at it. Sure, I'll be awesome. I mean, I am a world-class athlete, after all. Let's go.
All right, that is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day at 6:30 here on the show. Coming up next, one last segment to go, and Scott has requested a Scotteria Dealer's Choice on a Tuesday. Here we go. Next. Good song. Didn't know there was a movie, though.
I really like Katy Perry. What's she been up to? Anybody talk to her? Anybody speak to her? Anybody
catch
up to her?
No, I haven't chatted with her lately.
No, and nobody's texting her?
She has a baby with Orlando Bloom that they had like probably like a year ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she used to go out with that one guy, British accent, comedian guy?
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, yeah.
Yeah. Never really got
that.
I
think they were
married. Oh, were they?
They might have been, yeah. They were definitely together for a long time. Yeah.
New relationship, different dude, huh?
What's that?
I always liked Katy Perry, so I guess what I'm saying is I didn't really love her with that guy, Russell something.
Yeah. Why do you care who she dates?
Because, I mean, I care about her. I like her.
Well, she obviously liked him, so then you would want her to be happy, and if she was happy with him, then...
Right.
Well,
but clearly she wasn't happy, which is why they broke up.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so hindsight is 20/20, Cappy.
I don't know. Listen, I really like Katy Perry. Just checking in on her, that's all.
Okay, I'm glad you're checking in on her. What is it you want to talk about today on Scotteria?
All right, here's what
Can we get a little music for Scott? Do we have Scotteria music? I don't remember.
Oh, there it is.
Of course. Yes,
naturally. Ding, ticka, ding, a ding, ka, ticka, ticka, ding, bing, ticka, ticka, don't, ticka, 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 don't. Anyway, listen. George, you asked me earlier about watching the UFC this past Saturday night.
Yeah.
I did not. I admitted I did not. It sounded like you watched it intently.
I did, and my wife did as well.
Laura, did
which isn't always the case.
Okay. Laura, were you watching UFC Saturday night?
Absolutely not.
No? Okay. No. Lindsay
was at Helena's. No, Money in the Bank, not Helena's.
I was at Money in the Bank, but as soon as Money in the Bank ended, I turned on the pay per view because it was over by like 8 o'clock. So yes, okay. I
right, that's
it.
Right, because Vince McMahon, gotcha. Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, were yep. all at the UFC event after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really cool. So all right, so half of us did, half of us didn't. Now let me ask you guys something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday morning, 4th of July, another sporting event that many people in America would be watching. I yeah. personally have watched this. I've made a tradition of watching it, although I found myself stop watching it. So I'll ask everybody, yesterday, 4th of July, who here watched the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship of Major League Eating, the MLE? Who watched yesterday's big MLE championships of hot dog eating on ESPN? Who watched?
I did. I didn't watch the entire thing. Like, I caught it like a few minutes into it, but I did watch it.
Okay.
I
Lins,
did not.
Laura?
I think
okay.
it's very gross.
It's nasty. I pass. Hard pass.
Okay. So I also have decided that I no longer watch it because I used to watch it all the time. And I like, honestly, was like, this is disgusting, but I can't not watch it. Like, it's train wreck TV. Like, I can't turn away. Well, as it turns out, yesterday I did not watch the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship, but I saw it all go down on social media. Did you guys see what happened in the middle of the hot dog championship yesterday?
Yeah, they had a protester, and then what's his name? What's the guy's name?
No, I'm
Joey
not going to tell you. Don't
Joey
tell
Chestnut
him. No,
did like a UFC move on him. Yeah,
sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. It was fun to listen to George kind of struggle for his name. What's that guy's name? Okay. So here's the thing. Joey Chestnut George shows up to the competition in a boot and
right.
on crutches.
Yeah, his flu game.
So right, he's hurt. He's injured. A lot of athletes might not compete when they're in a boot. They can't run. They can't jump. In Joey Chestnut's case, I'm sure it was a tremendous struggle for him to be on both feet while one of them is in a boot and he's not wearing crutches. Now, he rocked the crutches when he first got out of his vehicle when he showed up to the competition. But make no mistake, you're in a boot and you're in the championship of your sport. You got to position yourself, your legs, your hips, your knees have to be bent at a certain angle. I mean, there's a lot to this hot dog eating. So Joey Chestnut shows up, foot in boot, on crutches, and in the middle of the whole competition, some dude jumps on stage, throws an elbow into Joey Chestnut. Chestnut looks up because he's been moved off his spot now. And remember, he's one-footed. He sees that it's a protester. With his right hand, he grabs the guy by the neck. Left hand does not let go of dog. He throws the guy down to the ground, and in one split second, goes from right hand down to the ground with the dude and left hand dog right back in mouth. And while Joey Chestnut did not break his own record of 75 dogs, he did win yet another MLE title and hot dog championship by pounding like 62 or 63. This guy, Joey Chestnut, we should consider him one of the greats of his sport. And I
mean,
think that
is.
I just don't know that he's getting the due today on LA ESPN, big time major league sports radio. I got to give Joey Chestnut some love.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, do you concur with this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm good. I believe that you're right. I mean, he gets love. I mean, he was on every show yesterday. They talked about him.
I mean, did you see the way he grabbed the protester in that Darth Vader mask?
Oh, no, it was great. It was fantastic. I mean, it was literally, like I said today on Around the Horn, that Dana White should sign him after that takedown.
He was not having any part of the protester. The guy elbowed him to the gut while he's trying to pound dogs. The guy sees him and goes, he's not supposed to be here. Joey Chestnut didn't wait for security. He took matters into his own hands, and the reason being, he's in the middle of a championship. This isn't some preliminary event.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen Chestnut go against Kobayashi again. Do you remember Kobayashi? He was the original hot dog eater.
I mean, everybody would look at Kobayashi and go, how could that little skinny guy pound dogs like this?
Yeah.
Because then they would have giant dude, 6'5", 350, and they're like, well, that guy's easily going to win. That guy stunk.
Yeah. By the way, Kobayashi, who lost to Joey Chestnut, obviously back in 2007, that was the last time they faced each other. Kobayashi did defeat Chestnut in other competitive eating, though. They did, like, burgers, and I believe Kobayashi defeated him. So,
Well, I just want to say this.
It's not hot dogs. Hot dogs is the big one, right? Like, yeah, everybody knows hot dogs.
Just want to say this. The man deserves his due. We're talking Dodgers today. We're talking a lot of Lakers today. We've talked a lot about conference realignment in college sports, USC, UCLA. Joey Chestnut deserves a little bit of love, and I'm sending it out to him.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's your Scotteria right there.
That's excellent stuff there, Cappy.
Thank you very much.
We still have another 2 minutes and 30 seconds, though, if you had more stuff to talk about.
Oh, I got plenty of stuff to talk about.
Got plenty. Let me put the music back.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You want me to talk for another 2 minutes? Let me tell you what I want to talk
about.
I mean,
you don't have to talk for just 2 minutes. I mean, we can all talk together.
Oh, well, here, let's all talk together. You ready? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, mm-hmm, next Friday night, mm-hmm, at our All-Star Derby, this is the home run derby with the wiffle balls, and then the, yeah, All-Star softball game. This is going to be so much fun.
It's the 15th, just so, right, people know.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all of this is happening. Laura, is this your spot?
I mean, I know where it is because I grew up in West Covina, yeah, Bowling Park area.
Yeah.
I know where it is.
Okay. So come into the crib.
My crazy ex-girlfriend was also filmed there for a little bit.
Your crazy ex-girlfriend, somebody
it's
was filming
show.
Her?
It's a oh. show. It's oh. a show, Gabby.
But you had some crazy ex-girlfriend. People would film
I do
her.
Not have a crazy ex-girlfriend.
That's a great show. I enjoy that show a lot.
Yeah.
Don't know it.
I don't really like how they made West Covina out to look, but, you know, it is a good show. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, next Friday night, it's going down. And for everybody that has hit me up like, dude, I can't believe I missed the Mandy's. I'm coming next year. People have told us they're coming in from out of town.
Go to this thing instead.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is all free.
Cappy, are you going to have something sponsored to, like, on your jersey? Are you going to add stuff to the jersey? I'm curious.
You know, that is a really, really good question. Mm-hmm. Now, at award shows and red carpet things, you know, I like to take it to the next level.
Of course.
For a softball game, I got to bring, you know, I got to bring my concentration and my focus and my athleticism.
Nice. I feel it.
You know, can you feel that?
Sure. Yeah. I'm with you, Cap.
Lindsay, are you really going to play shortstop?
I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to play shortstop. Maybe I'd be allowed to play second.
What do you mean allowed?
I don't know. I was talking with Clinton, and he didn't seem to like the idea of me playing shortstop, so I don't know. Maybe he didn't think I was capable. I'm not sure.
Is Clinton managing?
I don't know. I'm just showing up. You know, I'm told to be there, I'll be there.
You got a glove? You got a mitt?
Of course.
Love that.
Do you?
Come on. Come on. Do I have a mitt?
He doesn't. He's going to go buy it.
No, you're going to buy one. Dick's Sporting Goods.
Do I have a mitt?
We know what that means.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for all those people who created Brian Windhorst memes all weekend long. It really,
oh my God, amazing.
So enjoyable over the weekend.
Amazing.
It was so funny.
Yeah. All right, we're done here. Excellent work, Cappy.
Much love, everybody. It was great.
Great job, Lindsay and Laura. We will talk to you mañana. Lakers Talk with Slee is next.